to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Episode 26 of Off the Chest of Timothy Regal.
Wait, hold on. Is me saying wow like that considered selling? We can go back and re-record if it is.
Oh, you sold that too much, bro, but it's good. We'll leave it in. Oh,
okay. Yeah, all right.
You can't. This is the official no-sell edition of the Off the Chest podcast.
Wow. So it's Margaret every time I tell a joke.
Oh, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I am, of course, your host. The most famous man on the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network. The
after top talent. Darnell, Dustin, Vandy.
How is Jason Michaels more famous than me?
He's the greatest manager on earth. I'm sorry. Whoa. The greatest manager on earth.
He is, but he's still not as famous as Timothy Regal.
I agree to disagree. Mark Storm.
Trust me, did you not see how much Jason Michaels was hanging around with me at Hall of Fame weekend?
No, I didn't. I tried to avoid him.
How he gave me my stud club shirt, shit. And I wore it.
I bought you that. Did you pay me back for that?
Yes, I paid you back for the stud club shirt. Kizay Fizay, bro.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, well, I forgot.
That's
dead, too. Thanks to Leo Rush. Shoot. I did not even introduce you yet. Ladies and gentlemen, as always with me, my co-host, my podcasting and commentary partner, the seven-star mind of the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network, Mr. Alex McCarthy.
That's right, and we are here in MLSG. Talk about how beautiful our house is, Regal.
It's beautiful, it's amazing, it's way better than Brady A. Desire's house.
That's right. McCarthy loves
Square Gardens. Does Brady live in a house? I'm pretty sure he actually lives in a trailer.
Actually, Kizay Fizay, this is MASG because it's McCarthy Adele Square Gardens.
I guess it would be now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brady, I think actually, the Palace of Desire, I'm pretty sure, is a trailer.
Wow. Anyways, we got a format this week, Mark Storm.
I'm going to upset Mark Storm. I actually made a format this week.
Now
we made a format. Will we stay on the format? That's going to be
interesting. You know what? Do you have impressions on the format?
Do I have impressions on the format? I do not have impressions on the format, actually.
He sent me a 30-page script for Eye of the Storm.
Really?
That's right. I have lines, Eye of the Storm.
Have you recorded an episode of Eye of the Storm yet?
No, we're recording our first episode in about 10 days.
Excellent. I cannot wait to hear that.
It will premiere the week of anniversary.
Alright. But, Alex, obviously one of the biggest topics over the last 72 hours or so. I think we're about 72 hours. That's 72 hours. About one of the biggest, obviously, it's set social media on fire in the last 72 hours.
Merrick Brave tweeted about it.
When Merrick Brave's tweeting about independent wrestling, and Merrick Brave does not watch independent very much independent wrestling outside of the Black and the Brave guys, it's getting around. Folks, if you have not seen the clip, which if you're listening to this show, you're probably a huge wrestling fan.
If you're listening to this show, you've seen the clip.
The clip.
Maybe Zach hasn't.
Leo Rush.
Somebody sent it to Zach.
Leo Rush, who is a wrestler, an independent wrestler, a very young, very good, up-and-coming independent wrestler who recently signed with the WWE. He was competing in his final independent match on Saturday night in CZW against his longtime rival, Joey Janela. Joey Janela, who we are huge fans of here at Off the Chest. And they had a very intense, very hard-hitting, very physical match. And there was a spot towards the finish of them, it basically essentially was leading into the finish, where they set up a ladder and a table, and Joey Janela pile drives Lio Rush from the top of the ladder through the table. And Lio Rush immediately stands up like the Undertaker, no-sells the pile driver, hooks Janela in a pedigree, and that's your finish. And I wish, for anyone out there who hasn't seen the video, go look it up. It's on any social media platform you have. I can't even... It's so ridiculous. You know...
Okay.
No, let me, I'm not done yet. Folks, I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little, if you will, here. Pro wrestling is scripted.
Whoa! That's only for the premium listeners. They gotta pay money for that kind of info, Regal.
Pro wrestling is a physical form of entertainment where we entertain people telling a story with our bodies. Now, here's the thing about pro wrestling. In order to tell that story properly in pro wrestling, you have to make the pro wrestling match look like a legitimate fight. As best you can.
You ever been in a fight, Regal?
I've been in a few. Never.
Did you rip out a German suplex?
No, I've never German suplex in a fight. As best we can.
About a hurricanrana?
No.
You never hurricanrana to anybody?
You're, don't interrupt the rant, bro. I'm going to roll here.
Oh, God.
You can't... As best we can, we try to make it... We have to make it look legitimate. We have to make the telling of the story important. And if somebody takes a gigantic bump like that, there is no way in blue hell you should ever get up from something like that. That is the finish of a match. And I am as new school wrestling fan as you can get. I am a huge fan of the Young Bucks. I am a huge fan of PWG. I am a huge fan of AAW. I am a huge fan of the super indie style. I have been a fan of Ring of Honor since day one. That night, Lio Rush and Joey Janela went too fucking far. You cannot and should never do something that stupid where every single person in the building looked at that and said, "What the fuck?" Nobody, I'm sure there were probably some people that popped for it because they did something cool and original. No, they did something fucking stupid. How in the world do you possibly think anybody would think that doing that was the right thing to do in a match? And then on top of that off, they immediately just do the finish that I feel like so many guys, if they're a heel and they get signed, they're doing the stupid thing where for their finish to their match, they're going to hit a pedigree as a fuck you to the indies and go home with it because nobody ever breaks the pedigree.
Okay. Did you watch the entire match?
I have watched most of it. I didn't get all the way through. I did at least watch the setup to the move, and the finish, not just the GIF.
Oh, okay. I guess my feeling is, without knowing the history of the feud, the context of the match, I don't feel comfortable judging it.
I can tell you that these two had a feud that essentially stretched about 2 years in CZW. They've actually had a great feud. And it was basically how they both made their name in independent wrestling. They've had great feuds. The match itself leading into that finish was fine. Everything was great. I mean, it's obviously new school and super indie as shit. But, again, I don't have a problem with that. But the question here, Alex, I guess I'll ask you is, how far is too far? What is the line as far as, I guess, you know, some people say exposing the business, you know, some people will call it killing kayfabe. Where do you draw that line? Because obviously in this instance, I think, and I think pretty much everybody in the wrestling business thinks they crossed it and went too far here.
I'm going to say this. I'm a firm believer that all rules, whether in wrestling, in writing, in any creative venture, I believe that rules are made to be broken. If it makes sense for the story and is done in a creative way that makes sense for the story, I don't feel comfortable without having watched the entire match, without having understood the context of the feud, I don't feel comfortable, you know what I mean? I don't feel comfortable judging it.
Fair enough.
That being said, I like selling, I like storytelling. I think that, you know, selling is a great way to tell a story and a great way to get fans to connect with a character. Anytime you can have sympathy for a character and see that character in peril, I think it helps. It makes you want to root for that character. That being said, I think selling is very important in wrestling. And you know, we've talked about it before. There's certain wrestlers that I think that their selling or is going to be what makes them a star, or their need to sell is what's going to make them a star, because they, you know, they have to get sympathy, they have to connect with the people. And so, that being said, everyone and their fucking brother is talking about Lio Rush.
Yeah, that is true. And here's the thing. Lio Rush is a great competitor who, even before this, And I'm going to say it's rumor and innuendo and it's speculation.
Right.
I've actually talked to people that have shared locker rooms with him. He's a guy that is a very polarizing figure in independent wrestling because he's very young, got very famous very quickly.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of stories that he has been difficult to deal with promoters, difficult to deal with other workers. And I've even seen some people online say that he can be very inappropriate to fans.
Okay.
So and he's a guy that's got a lot of heat on him in the business even before this.
Right.
So the question is this A, is it a bigger deal because of the fact that it's a guy that a lot of people already didn't like?
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, everyone is talking about him. And you know what, Regal? Like, when you really think about it, it's fucking CZW.
It is CZW.
There's fucking barbed wire, weed whackers, light tubes, shit that, and I'm sure it's not every time that shit's used. Like, realistically, there is a context in a world of wrestling where one use of a light tube, or one use of barbed wire, or one use of thumbtacks, or one use of broken glass, that's the finish. A lot of wrestling promotions, you bring out something like that once, and that's the finish. So, when you really think about it, in the world of CZW, is it really that far out that a pile driver off a ladder through a table is the finish?
That's a good point. And obviously, you are not a fan of deathmatch wrestling.
I'm not. I hate that shit.
I am a very staunch advocate in favor of deathmatch wrestling.
And I mean, it's you know, it's the buffet. I talk about the buffet all the time. And I'm not getting any deathmatch wrestling in my buffet.
And here's the thing. On this show, along with that, there were some great wrestling matches.
I'm sure there were.
From what I hear. I have not seen the show yet. It is in my queue on the High Spots Wrestling Network. They should sponsor us.
They should sponsor us.
What
did you call Jake Manning?
What? Oh, call Jake Manning?
Yeah.
Call my buddy Manscap?
Yeah.
I should.
It's not that unrealistic for them to sponsor us.
That's another guy we need to get on for Revolver Week.
Yeah.
The thing is, in the context of this, obviously staying relevant is a big deal. And the thing is, he's also in there with Joey Janela.
Right.
Who, you want to talk about a guy who has literally, in about, again, the course of about 2 years, has become more relevant as a polarizing figure in pro wrestling.
I didn't know who he was until April.
Yeah, well, yes, but he's only been in the business for about 2 years.
Okay.
Over the last year, he has literally just gone out and in a completely unique, amazing way, used social media, used his wrestling matches, used everything that he could do, and got himself over and made himself into a brand where now he is one of the most sought-after figures in pro wrestling on the independent scene, because when he shows up at a show, you never know what he's going to do.
Right.
You never know what you're going to get. He's a very good wrestler.
Yeah.
But he's also just done this amazing job, a lot like, say, the Young Bucks, of creating a brand that makes him a sought-after commodity in independent wrestling. And this, whether you love it or hate it, is furthering that, because he was involved in it, and people are going to talk about it. And now Leo Rush, who already had his name out there on the independents, is now getting gifted and retweeted over and over again as he exits the indies and goes to what assumably NXT. There's been some talk he may skip NXT entirely, and they may try to pump him right to a Tuesday night show at 9 o'clock to attempt to try to move the needle on a show that nobody's watching. I hope they don't do that, honestly.
Do you think that he's going to be... Do you think he would be a draw for people on 205?
I think he could be. The thing is, I think 205 Live is a dead brand.
Do you remember when we had the conversation on a previous episode, and I'd made the comment that, was it Ciampa and Gargano, that I didn't want to see go to 205 Live because I said it would. And you looked at me and you go, wow, do you think 205 Live is a death notice? I will be surprised when they finally pull the plug on this thing if there are five guys on that show that stay employed with the company for 2 years after that show goes off the air.
Here's the thing. I love 205 Live. I think it's great, but I think in the grand scheme of things, I think it's been a colossal failure.
It has.
I think the wrestling on it is great. I love the guys on it.
But this I think is the thing. The wrestling on it's been great, but it's not half as good as it could be. They're not letting those guys go out there and do their best stuff.
I think they're trying as best. The WWE is trying to do what they think is best.
They're trying to homogenize it.
But the problem is they're cutting off their nose despite their face. They're, by not letting these guys do what they did in the Cruiserweight Classic, they're hurting their brand.
Well, especially when you've let them do what they did in the Cruiserweight Classic. So, and this is a no-brainer solution, it's what everybody said. Stop taping it after SmackDown, or stop putting it after SmackDown. Don't make it live. Tape it at Full Sail. Do a month worth of episodes, and then give them their own version of NXT TakeOver once a month.
That's the way that I think they could do it, but
it's a no-brainer. Or hell, give them a Thursday night 2-hour live 205 live, a live 205 super show on a Thursday night, even if it's from Full Sail.
But Alex, to spin it back, we're tangenting on 205 live. How far in the new school super indie style of pro wrestling do you think is too far?
I think if it gets to the point that it's turning people away, then it's too far because then it's not making money. As long as you're still selling tickets. Now, if CZW's next show tanks on ticket sales or downloads, that's too far. I think as long as you're selling tickets, that's okay.
And here's the thing. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
I don't think that's going to happen this. I don't think that's going to happen from the Onita-Tremont main event that turned into a six-man. I know some people were upset about that on social media because they felt like they got bait and switched.
So, okay, so let's talk about that. Because you said, I want to say it was you told me that Onita changed it on them when he got
it
there.
It sounds like, and again, rumor and innuendo from the internet, you know, that it sounds like Onita showed up and said, we're going to do the match, but this is how I want to do it. We're going to wrestle for a bit. We're going to turn it into a six-man, and then my team is going to go over. And there's also some rumors going around. Again, rumor and innuendo and speculation on the internet that he may have held the company up for more money.
Right, and I've heard that too. My thing is, if he said when he first agreed to take the booking that, no, I'm not doing a singles match, someone of that stature needs to be very specific about how they're being booked if they're taking a booking, especially if you're a top Japanese star coming to the United States. They should have been very specific about what he was doing, what he was going to want to do. If they didn't know for a fact that he was going to agree to what they had booked and come and do business, they should have cleared that up beforehand. So what I'm wondering is, did they know? Like, if they knew ahead of time that he was never going to agree to do the singles match, that's super fucking shitty.
I will say this. It sounds like, as far as the fans go at the show, Onita was nothing but professional. Okay. Signed every autograph, took every picture. I know somebody had him film an opening for Botchamania. And so I can't wait to see that. It sounds like he was very gracious with the fans. Here is the other thing with Onita. The man is 53 years old. He's gone through God knows how many barbed wire, exploding ring, flame, fire, chainsaw death matches than anybody can count.
Right.
He looked okay in the ring, but he was obviously moving slow.
Sure.
I mean, again, he's 53 years old, and he's literally mutilated his body for the pro wrestling business.
Right.
And for those of you who don't know who Onita is, he literally is one of the godfathers, along with Funk and Foley, of the deathmatch style. And if I were to rank him somewhere in the 6 to 10 range of the top 10 most influential people in the history of Japanese pro wrestling.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't rank him top 5. That would probably be Ricky Dozan, Onita, Baba, Choshu, and, you know, I'm not sure who the fifth guy is. So maybe in the 5 to 10 range somewhere.
Inoki?
Inoki would be in there too, so yeah. Onita would be in the second tier of that top 10. He is a true legend of both Japanese wrestling, deathmatch wrestling, and he deserves nothing but the respect. And to get to see him in America, which he's only done, I think, maybe 3 times, because he bailed on ECW at one point, he bailed on XPW at one point. It was kind of a running joke of if he'd actually get on the plane. And then there were pictures on the social media of him showing up at JFK Airport like it was the goddamn Beatles.
Were there people waiting for him?
Yeah, literally, fans were waiting at the airport for him. It was pretty amazing. And just for the fans to get to, A, meet him, get a picture of him. I know Damon McDonald from the New Japan Purocast, I listened to them. He was there and said he was nothing but professional with that. And as a fan who, myself, I was one of those people who went to the FYE, bought those FMW VHS tapes, watched them over and over again with Masato Tanaka, the Gladiator Mike Awesome, Onita, Mr. Pogo, those guys, Super Leather, those guys were literally my introduction into deathmatch wrestling and one of my introductions into Japanese wrestling along with New Japan guys and WCW. So if I could have, if I was one of those people that was in the vicinity of CZW and could have been there to just to hear Wild Thing play through the speakers and Onita make an entrance and then use barbed wire and he used an exploding bat. He played the hits. He gave the fans what they wanted. Granted, they turned it into a six-man. But I don't think anybody should be complaining about that. Hey, card is always subject to change, right?
Absolutely.
But it's they pretty much sold out the show in CZW. So it's obviously, it worked out well for CZW. Worked out well pretty much everywhere this weekend. We had sold out Rockstar. We had sold out. Our buddies over at Pro Wrestling Revolver sold out.
Yep.
Obviously, Russell Circus sold out because, you know, they sell.
They can't afford their buildings. Just
no, AAW had a huge crowd in LaSalle. We had a huge crowd in Walcott.
Absolutely.
Man, independent wrestling, folks. It's killing it everywhere. So.
And I like the, we talk about, people talk a lot of shit about, that was almost dusty. People talk a lot of shit about Wrestle Circus. But I liked what they said. You know, they made the comment, oh, everybody says that every indie promotion is all the same guys. So tell me how Wrestle Circus, SCI, CZW, AAW.
I forgot to mention SCI.
SCW all ran the same night. And was anybody pulling double duty?
Nope, nobody was. Nobody was teleporting. So
there might have been a handful of people that were at night one of the SCI and not two that showed up somewhere else the second night.
Dude, Joey Janela went from night one of the SCI in Tennessee.
Yep.
To New Jersey for CZW.
Yep.
Then back to Tennessee to work Southern Underground Pro against Kurt Stallion.
That's right. Oh, I wish I could have saw that match. Also,
That will be on the High Spots Network here shortly.
From the sounds of it, the Kurt Stallion Matt Riddle match from the SCI is just to die for.
We might have to get a month of Powerbomb TV just to check that one out.
Something.
And then, obviously, again, shout out to our buddies down at Southern Underground Pro. You can follow them on Twitter at SupGraps. Yep. Sup underscore Graps.
Yep.
One of the hottest angles going, which is apparently going across lines now, and again, I'm going to talk about building a brand and getting yourself over, our good friend Angelus Lane.
Yeah.
Showing up with Dominic Guarini and just wrecking havoc. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but Angelus Lane, I mean, she's lighting promoters on fire. She's showing up on shows she's not booked on. This young lady, who is legitimately one of my favorite people in the wrestling business, I mean, again, going out there and just doing something original, doing something different, and creating a brand for yourself. Again, I stress that every single... I feel like I talk about that every single podcast.
You don't, but sure. But
it's one of those things. You got to market. You got to bank on yourself, bet on yourself, market yourself, do the work you got to do.
And you know what else she does?
Make the drives, make the towns.
She makes the drives, she makes the towns. You can't be afraid to fucking get in the car for 5 hours to help set up the ring. Like, you know, if you wait for something to be handed to you, you're going to be waiting for a long-ass time because ain't nobody handing anybody shit. You better be ready to bust your ass. You better be ready to make the drive. And freaking, you know, if you have a work ethic, that gets around. That spreads. And if people see you bust your ass, they'll go to bat for you. I'm fucking living proof of that.
But don't take pile drivers through tables and expose the business, kids.
No, but see, I'm trying to be serious, though.
I know. No, you're good.
Hey, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
People, again, you did it at SCW, you did it at IPW, you did it at 3XW. Who got you into 3XW, Alex?
Brady A. Desire.
But you emailed Todd Countryman originally, is that
right? Yes, I did. I contacted Todd.
You made yourself happen.
But Brady knew my reputation.
And it was the help of the Pro Wrestling Iowa guys that got you in IPW. And it was the help of myself and...
Mark Strong.
Yeah, that guy.
You know what? Mark Strong's the one that took me from being the fill-in when somebody else isn't here. And Mark Strong went to bat for me and said, this guy needs to be on every show.
Fair enough.
I'm indebted to a lot of people, but I won't forget what Mark Strong did for me. Because Mark Strong was the one that said, you need to find a spot for him at Epic. Because I was planning on paying for a ticket at Epic. And I got to call X-Pac.
I'm not even going to kayfabe on that one, so. But what? I'm not even going to make jokes about, you know, me and Mark, so. But no, you got to work. You got to make yourself a brand. You got to just go out and do it on your own. Nobody's going to do it for you, kids.
And can I just talk about goal setting for a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to talk about goal setting for a minute because...
We're off topic, as always. Go ahead.
No, but this is... But I think we're on an important tangent.
Okay.
Because I've been wanting to talk about this, and I haven't felt like I've had the right platform, the right medium. So I'm going to take advantage of this platform to talk about it. One year ago, I one goal in the quote-unquote world of professional wrestling. You know what that one goal was?
I believe, as you said, it was to be on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast one time.
My goal was to be on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast one time. Here we are 1 year later. Have I been on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast once?
You've been on it definitely more than once. You're on it every week.
I'm on it every week. I've been on it every week since what? January?
Since Pro Wrestling Iowa relaunched the brand and became, instead of just the podcast, it became the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network, pretty much.
Back in January.
Yes.
So I'm on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. I think I've missed maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The entire time.
How many podcasts are you doing now? Because you've got the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast, you've got Off the Chest, and
SCW preview shows,
and then
3XW preview shows, Eye of the Storm coming soon.
Oh boy, can't wait to hear that.
You know, Regal, I know you're faving, but it's gonna be out of character. It's gonna be us sitting around telling people's stories. And then I managed to become a commentator for SCW, and I will tell you that there's some stuff that I've done for SCW that I'm not. I don't want to go through a laundry list of the things that I do for SCW, but it's more than just show up and commentate.
That's true, folks. In all honesty, and I'm gonna say something right now, Alex McCarthy is more valuable to Scott County Wrestling at this point than Timothy Regal is. They could replace me tomorrow, and they'd be okay. I'm not sure if they try to get rid of Alex tomorrow, they're going to be okay.
I don't want to say that. I think everybody's replaceable. But the thing is like, you have to be willing to learn how to do things. Like, I didn't know how to do commentary when I started. I was nervous as hell. Do you remember how nervous I was the first time we did commentary together?
Yeah, the first couple shows were a little rough. I think I really felt, especially last Saturday, but I thought we did great. I think we found our groove. I'm sure there's probably some fans out there that are going to tell us we suck, but, you know, that's everybody.
I didn't have any thumb puns this week.
Yeah, there were no thumb puns. Hashtag thumb talks.
Hashtag thumb talks. But in all seriousness, I drove to 3X. I made my ends there. I went to bat. You have to go to bat for yourself, and you have to show up being ready for them to say, hey, we don't have anything for you. And then finding out what else you can do. Because if you don't put yourself out there, nobody's going to come looking for you. You have to put yourself out there. And I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm not asking for anybody to tweet them. I'm not trying to get anybody to go to bat for me. I want to do it myself. I want to do the work myself. I'd really like to call the next Pro Wrestling Revolver show. That's my goal right now. So I'm working on getting my tape made. I'm going to hit them up to see what I can do for them, how I can be of value to them. I'd really like to do commentary for Revolver. And maybe they don't need me. Maybe they have somebody else. Maybe I'm, you know, shooting myself in the foot by doing it this way.
Alex, I do want to say, just to throw this out there, you also have to be okay with being told no.
Yeah.
Because you've been told no.
I've been told no.
I don't think we should name the promotion that told you no. Out of respect.
Yeah, but it's fine. And I wasn't the right fit for them. And I'm not going to be the right fit for everybody. And I think I surprised some of the Black and Brave kids when I'm like, you know, I've been doing this about a month longer than y'all. Like, they don't realize that. They've just by the way I act and the way I've come to come in and the way I'm willing to work and do things, I think they think I've been around forever. But I've been doing this since March. The commentary thing and the ring announcing. I've been quote unquote in the wrestling business since March. But I've been told no, and I still show up. I'm still trying to make dates. I'm still trying to make shows and make towns and put myself out there. Because if you don't do that, you can't sit at home and say, "Eh, nobody will book me." You should be at a wrestling show every day that you can be, unless you are putting money in your bank account so that you can eat and support yourself and support your family. You should be at a wrestling show if you can be at one. That's my little soapbox.
Yeah, I've preached that to everybody. Get on a weekend, at least on Friday and Saturday, if you're an independent wrestler, you need to be at shows. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to throw shade. I'm not going to name anybody. I've had guys, I see them on a Friday night, and I go, "Hey, why are you not working?" There were no shows. Sometimes, now, every once in a while, that might be true. And I'm not
Holiday weekends,
whatever. Also, I understand, every once in a while, you might want to take a night off.
Sure.
You know, it's, you got your girlfriend wants to go out. You got family stuff, you know. It's okay every once in a while. But if you don't have anything, find a show, get in the car, drive to it, show up with your gear bag, say, "Hey, I'm here. I'll do whatever. I'll set up a tear down the ring. Is there any chance you might be able to use me?"
Hey, promoters, I'll set up and tear down the ring too.
You gotta be humble in the business.
Well, and this is the other thing. Like, I had that kid a couple weeks. Remember a couple weeks ago, the kid on Twitter was trying to get booked places, and he asked me for advice. And I said, you have to be willing to do anything. You can't think you're above doing anything. You have to be willing to do anything, and you have to assume you know nothing. Like, yeah. So you're coming in at my end.
And it's one of those things, and that goes all the way back to the territories. I will tell you the stories of some of the... There are legends in this business. Jim Cornette started out as a photographer in Memphis. J.J. Dillon started out...
As a referee.
As a referee, but he started out essentially as, you know, a cleanup crew guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of my wrestling heroes, Bruce Pritchard, literally
10 years old.
Was 10 years old. Started selling programs. By the time he was 12, he was taking tickets. At 14 years old, he was the technical director for Memphis Wrestling at 14. He was the right-hand man and co-booker by the age of 16. That's a rare case. But even at 10 years old, the guy was hustling and got himself into the business. Now, the business has changed. Obviously, the territories are gone and independent wrestling exists. But the
independent wrestling is, like, other than working the loop, how different from territories is independent wrestling?
As we've gotten more and more out there, it's becoming more and more essentially like a territory system. Because, again, if you're in the right area, and if you're working hard enough, you can work 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
I know the Crist boys. They do it. Sammy mm-hmm. Callahan does it. Mm-hmm. I know Chris Hero did it. Mm-hmm. So you can do it. You can work five, six nights a week.
Obviously, you might not be making the same thing Wednesday that you're making Saturday, but...
And if you're willing to make the drive.
Right.
You know, you might have to drive from Indiana to New Jersey or Davenport to Kansas City and then down to Texas and then back to Chicago. It sucks. It's a hard life.
Well, you know, and you remember stories about Austin and Mick Foley sleeping in their cars.
Yeah.
Like, they did okay for themselves eventually. Trust but they me. Had to bust their ass.
Trust me. Black and Brave made some long drives.
Yeah.
I made some drives with him. I drove 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
It.
You drove?
Well, I didn't drive.
I was going to say, I heard they never let you drive.
They never actually let me drive, even though we were using my family's vehicle. Merrick would usually drive too, and then Tyler, and then Seth would actually always drive back.
Okay.
The annoying thing about that was, at the time, Seth was always into hardcore metal music.
I hear that's still the case.
Actually, he's more into punk music now.
Oh, really?
No. So, yeah, driving back was a pain in the butt. It kept us awake, because at maximum volume, there would be screaming music the entire ride home.
And I hope we don't come off too preachy, because really, like, who the fuck
is this,
are we?
Did this turn into another segment of Uncle Regal's Learning Tree? I think it did.
Well, no, but my point is, like, who the fuck are we? So if this comes off preachy, well, it's not because we think we're better than anybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I just would love to see we want to see wrestling grow. We want to see wrestling get better. And if everybody works as hard as they can, this is a weird angle. If everybody works as hard as they can and does everything they can, wrestling's going to keep growing. It is crazy just in the last year how much independent wrestling has grown. If you look at a year ago, I think Revolver was barely a thing. Wrestle Circus was not a thing. Glory Pro was not a thing. And these are some of the top promotions in the country now. And independent wrestling, Midwest wrestling, just wrestling in general is blowing up. And we have the High Spots Network and Flow Slam.
And as I've said, streaming technology. And I had a funny, interesting story today.
Okay.
I had a customer come into my job that actually used to come to our shows.
Yeah.
And she asked me, "Are you still doing SCW?" I said, "Yeah, we're still doing it. We're killing it. We're running every month. We got call bar." She said, I don't see flyers. Where are you guys flyering at? I said, essentially, marketing now is primarily through social media.
Yep.
Because it's been proven that's where you're getting your people. Social media and the advent of streaming technology is what is making independent wrestling the independent wrestling that we have today. I pretty much, honestly, I have told people my PlayStation 4 is sitting at home collecting dust.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever turn it on. Because with the High Spots Network and NJPW World, I am watching professional wrestling whenever I am free, because there is so much content that I feel that I need to be a part of, that I need to see, that I need to know. There's so many guys out there that are so goddamn fucking talented that it just, it's an amazing, amazing time to be a fan. It's an amazing thing to watch. I am super excited to see where we're going in the future.
And it makes me wonder, what super talented people are we not seeing because they're not going somewhere? I remember, it wasn't the last Glory Pro show, but it was the one before that, where somebody ended up canceling, and if a wrestler would have shown up to help set up the ring, they probably would have gotten the spot in the match.
Michael Elgin openly said it.
Yeah. So it's like, get out there. Get anywhere you can. Like, a Sunday show, unless you're working your shoot job every Sunday, why aren't you trying to get on? Why aren't you just going to a Sunday show? Well, and that's the thing. Like, I work for a couple promotions now. Regal is very busy with his day job. I am busier during the school year than I am in the summertime. But if it's a weekend and there's a show and it's, you know, under 2 hours, I'll drive 4 for Glory Pro, but if it's under two, three hours, I'll make the drive. Right now we are going to send it to Growlix for a commercial break, and we will be right back.
In the future, roving bands of comic book podcasts will savage the wasteland, once known as the Internet. One podcast, the Growlix Podcast, may not be the biggest, may not be the funniest, may not be the most well-spoken. Wait, what was my point again? Oh yes, the Growlix Podcast. Listen to it at growlixpodcast.com. That's GRAWLIX podcast.com.
And we are back. Regal, I think now you want to talk a little bit about the state of NXT.
Well, yeah, we actually we started talking about this while we were sitting here waiting to record, and I said, wait a minute. Actually, Alex said, wait a minute. You think we should talk about this on the show? And I'm like, you know, if we're going to talk about it, we might as well record it. So,
right.
We had gotten into this discussion because of talking about tag teams. Obviously, you know, the Revival got hurt right now, so they broke up American Alpha. It's like, where are we going?
They broke up American Alpha. They broke up Enzo and Cass. They broke up DIY.
And we were talking about tag teams that may come up, and the problem is, like Alex said, I was trying to throw out some tag teams. The NXT tag team division
is very bare right now. What? It's going?
Okay, see it's going?
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't moving. Okay.
It's not moving because it's zoomed out because of the commercial.
I'm so sorry. I was worried because I thought for a second we weren't recording, but Alex says we're recording, so I'm going to pray that he's right.
Here, you want me to zoom in so it fucking moves every second?
Okay. I see that it's moving. We're happy now. Relax.
All right. So, Jesus.
I just don't want my show to be bad. Our show.
Oh, if it was your show, you'd know how to record the goddamn thing, and you would know that it was fucking recording.
There we go.
Guess
what, folks? Your regular episode of Off the Chest is resumed.
Motherfucker.
Oh, no, but okay. No, NXT.
Let's get Kat on the phone. She can yell at you.
Can we not?
Actually, she's in Ohio now, so we know what she's doing.
Yeah, she just got to Ohio a few hours ago. I can guess what.
Probably killing someone, because that's what Ohio's for. Anyways, NXT, you know, I think their single males division is really deep. It's almost probably too deep.
The singles division.
They could really use a secondary male title.
That I've actually said that for a while now. They need like a Florida Heritage title, a TV
Network title,
something, yeah. Something.
Internet title.
Yeah, and I think it's only a matter of time before Bobby Roode comes up. I think he may be up before WrestleMania.
Probably.
I think Drew Galloway. I would be shocked if Drew Galloway does not win the NXT title at TakeOver Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Obviously you have Kyle O'Reilly coming in. You have Hideo Itami. You have Cassius Ohno. You've got who else?
Aleister fucking Black.
Aleister Black. You're starting to see a push for Oney Lorcan.
Is Martin Stone signed?
There was a rumor that they were possibly looking into signing him and bringing him back full time again.
They'd be crazy not to. Dude is so good.
Apparently, him and Oney had a match on.
Oh, you haven't watched it?
No. They had another match on TV. Apparently, they had a match at one of the house shows this weekend and just killed each other again.
Jesus, so fucking talented.
Yeah. No, but the women's division, which.
I think the women's division is decently deep, even without
I think you're going to see a very big shift after the Mae Young Classic.
After the Mae Young Classic, they don't. I'm intended to agree with what Dustin and Darnell have said on the Mothership. It needs to be a 90-minute show.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take everybody. They didn't take. It seems like they took everybody from the Cruiserweight Classic, but they didn't. They're not going to take everybody. They'll pick and choose who they want. Obviously, some of those women.
I don't think they're going to get everybody they want.
And
either.
Some of those, a lot of those women in the Cruiserweight Classic, in the Mae Young Classic, are already contracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kairi Sane,
who recently got injured, didn't she?
She got a concussion. Hopefully, she will be back soon. I don't know the results of the Mae Young Classic, and even
I have
with
not
that news,
looked
I did
at a
not
lick
look.
Of a lick of a spoiler.
What are they calling Evie now? I can't remember.
Was it Dakota Kai?
Dakota Kai. She is already signed. Yeah, several of those women are already under NXT contracts. So you're going to see that influx after that. I think they're going to call up Asuka. What happened to Billie Kay
I feel like with the current climate of the women's division, I felt like they'd done everything they could with those. Did one of them get hurt?
I think Billie Kay got hurt for a little bit. No, but I think the iconic duo, I think you could bring up. SmackDown's women's division really lacks some depth.
I think both women's divisions are
lacking depth. Yeah, so you could bring up three or four of those girls that are in NXT right now and build up some depth there to really, really help push that division.
Right.
The tag team division in NXT with...
So shallow.
There's Sanity and there's Authors of Pain. Sanity.
Heavy Machinery.
The Ely brothers have been on once or twice.
Are the Ely brothers signed?
Yeah, the Ely brothers are on NXT contracts.
Okay.
They've primarily been working the Florida Loops.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked that they haven't given the major push to Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli.
Me either, honestly.
I still think... I don't know why they're waiting to pull the trigger. Tino Sabatelli is a guy that looks like a super...
He looks like a male model.
Yeah, he's... Well, he legitimately is a former NFL player. And he's not one of those guys that was in the NFL for one season. He had a legitimate NFL career.
Yeah.
And he, physically, the guy looks better than just about anybody I've ever seen. He looks like a natural version of Chris Masters. Whereas Masters, you could tell, was on the juice. Sabatelli looks like Chris Masters that actually went to the gym for 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
Riddick
Moss, honestly, when NXT was in Des Moines, shit, that was almost a year ago now. I'm
excited to think that was almost a year ago.
He impressed me.
Yeah, he was.
I thought it would only be a matter of time before we saw him on TV.
Riddick is a great old school style heel.
Yep, exactly.
He really, really has some great potential as a heel. I think the look
with the look's a little weird.
The look's a little strange because the hair and but he is legitimately Native American, so the hair and the look I think are natural. That
Minnesota guy, right?
Yeah, he's a Minnesota guy. You've got there's several other. I mean, Oney Lorcan, which they said they're starting to push him, but that guy. I mean, you were talking about a guy who just beats the living hell out of both himself and other people.
Right.
I think the other person, I think, you know, are they going to, what can they do in NXT with Hideo Itami? If you're going to pull the trigger on Hideo Itami, I think you need to do it now and call him up because he's older. There's not a lot that NXT, I think, is going to teach him. I think if they're going to call him up...
I think they're waiting for him to get over, which, in my opinion, still hasn't really happened.
I think it's happening now since they're letting him be essentially the character that he was in Japan, which is a grumpy prick that kicks people in the face.
Yeah.
The other... I honestly, I will tell you this much. There is... I hate to say this. I don't think they're ever going to call up Ono. I think Cassius Ono is there because he is... Essentially, as a player coach, which was I thought was the role they were going to have Austin Aries play at one point.
Which what about Roddy Strong?
Roddy, I don't know.
I don't know about Roddy.
It seems like they're still lukewarm on Roddy.
Yeah.
They gave him the push for the belt, but then it was essentially one match and done. And where does he go from here?
Another guy I want to talk about. I think still, I don't. I think he's got a lot of what he needs. I don't see why they haven't pushed him the right way yet. Is No Way Jose. All the potential in the world.
The injury.
Oh, well.
He got injured for several months.
Yeah.
He's back now. But that injury, I think, sometimes, especially in that developmental situation, when you get injured,
yeah,
you essentially, I hate to use this term, but you go to the back burner.
You go to the end of the line, yeah.
Yeah, you're going back to the end of the line, and you kind of have to start over.
Well, I'm thinking of it. Where the hell is Eric Young?
We have not... he's still in the... I actually wondered about that. He is still in the video packages for Sanity, and he's still in all the graphics.
Yeah.
But he has been absent from the TV.
Is he hurt, or...?
I think he may have... Well, keep in mind, in NXT, they're not taping every week, too. So, honestly, he may have just missed one TV taping for something.
I don't know. Does he still have that show on the outdoor channel or whatever?
I think so. So maybe he was filming that. I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Yeah. So.
I kind of forgot about that.
I think he may have just missed one taping, and what we're seeing is all from the taping that he missed.
Gotcha.
So that might be the situation. That, as far as I know, Eric Young is still with NXT. I know he is one of the guys that they've brought on that does not essentially train full-time at the Performance Center, so that is a situation there. But no, I think NXT TV is super strong right now. I think it's actually been more must-see.
It's the only must-see thing on WWE television.
And
right
there
now.
Was a period there for a few months where they were restocking, mm-hmm. where NXT TV, I felt, was not must-see.
Well, I don't think it was restocking so much as the booking had gone downhill when Ryan Ward left. And I think whoever's booking now has finally figured out, you know, what it takes to get that show over and how to book a one-hour TV show.
Yeah, the other... Yeah, we need to rebuild the tag team division, obviously. WWE needs to rebuild the tag team division as a whole. I love tag team wrestling, and I feel like sometimes WWE just runs hot and cold on whether they want to have tag team divisions or not.
Well, you know, you've heard the story. I can't remember what podcast I heard it on. It might have been... I want to say it was either Cornette or Bruce. At the end of the day, do you want to pay two guys or do you want to pay four guys? It's a money thing.
Well, also, I know Bruce has said this, or I know, I can't remember what podcast, I think it was Bruce said, sometimes Vince just doesn't really care that much about tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Whereas,
but it's for that reason, I think.
Yeah, you have other bookers that care very much about tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, even in the old days, Jim Crockett Sr., obviously, as in the 80s, we had the Crockett Cup. The reason for the Crockett Cup was Jim Crockett Sr. was known as a tag team promoter. He would book four or five tag team matches on a show with about three singles matches on it.
It's got to be expensive.
And keep in mind, keep in mind internationally, Alex, in Japan and in Mexico, tag team wrestling is the format.
Right.
It's the, like, a New Japan house show is primarily multi-man tag matches. The only time you actually get singles matches in New Japan is for big shows and, obviously, the G1, which we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, titles and feuds, isn't it, yeah, basically?
Yeah, and in Mexico, again, same thing. Titles and feuds are the only times you get singles matches. Everything else is essentially trios matches.
Well, I mean, that's the way that you fucking protect your talent, too.
Yeah,
I mean, in this era, with this style, you gotta protect your talent.
Yeah, but no. In NXT, I think they're great right now. I'm really... As far as the tag team division, they've said we're getting a Dusty Classic this year, so I'm really interested to see that. And I know one of the reasons this conversation kicked off was... Two guys have debuted in NXT in recent weeks.
Yep.
Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And I thought it was kind of ironic that they just seem to be being kept apart. And I think
As far as I know, Fish hasn't signed yet, has he?
Maybe he still might be working as an independent, but if they can keep him in the fold, which I think they will, it's a matter of time before... The team that I'm assuming we formerly known as Red Dragon shows up in NXT. And if they're doing a Dusty Classic, man, Red Dragon versus the Authors of Pain, Red Dragon versus Sanity, Red Dragon versus, I'll just throw out a super team of Roderick Strong and Drew Galloway.
Well, if Galloway is the champion, it'll probably be, I guess, Roddy and Ono, maybe.
Roddy and Ono, which, again, that's two Ring of Honor guys that they know. So, that very easily could be a excellent tournament.
I'm trying to think, do they have anybody in developmental that...
Well, there's always... Dude, there's... I don't know how many people they actually have.
No, but I'm saying, like, is there somebody that that's been signed that's not on TV yet that be a good tag team?
I'm trying to think, and I know there's somebody...
Don't they usually do 16 tag teams in the...
Yeah, and keep in mind, by that point...
Yeah?
There's a lot more guys that...
Donovan Dijak rumored to be headed that way. Leo Rush.
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole. Maybe they'll do Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, and I was going to save this for the New Japan portion, but I'll talk about it now since we're here. There is a IWGP title match at the G1 Climax Finals of the Champions War Machine defending against the Guerrillas of Destiny. And...
You think War Machine could be WWE bound?
Big Uncle Dave apparently is reporting that War Machine may have been house hunting down on for some oceanfront property down by Cape Canaveral. We'll just put it that way.
Really?
Because War Machine right now are completely independent. So
interesting.
They are free and clear from any contract status and could pretty much make the jump at any point if WWE came a-calling.
Good for them.
So... And as much as I would miss them in New Japan, obviously,
they haven't been in New Japan super long, have they?
No, but if there were ever two guys that were paid for New Japan...
Oh, yeah, no, I would...
It's Hanson and Ray Rowe.
No, I know.
Along with Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
But, I guess at this point, it's perfect time, since I'm talking about it. Let's pivot over, and since, you know, the powers that be, you know... Are a little behind. We're going to do once again the G1 Climax update here on Off the Chest. As Alex feigns like he's going to sleep because he's an a-hole. Folks, I said it last week.
Juice Robinson beat Kenny Omega.
Are you going to take this seriously? Can I talk?
Juice Robinson beat Kenny Omega, didn't he?
He did beat Kenny Omega. It was amazing.
Fucker.
The best part is Juice. The way he sells it, which the finish of the match, if you haven't seen it, is
Kenny. By the way, I'm trying to turn into Cat. If you haven't figured that out,
why?
Fill the void.
Kenny Omega picks up Juice for the One Winged Angel. Juice counters it into a victory roll, gets the 3 count, and then gets up and looks at the referee and holds up 3, and he's going 3, 3, really? And as he's going back up the rampway and everything. The crowd is going absolutely insane. They have made Juice into the ultimate babyface during this G1. Even though he's only won 2 matches, but the crowd is so behind him and so eager to see him win. They have done an amazing job of building. And just the reactions that he was giving of the, oh my god, I can't believe I just beat Kenny Omega. And then he went and did his post-match press conference, and he said, you know... It was going to be a long plane ride back to Chicago if I had to go home and tell my dad, well, I wrestled 9 matches and I only won 1. But now I can go back and I can tell my dad, well, I wrestled 9 matches and I only won 2, but one of them was against Kenny fucking Omega.
Right on.
The best goddamn... the person who a lot of people say is the best wrestler in the world today.
Who's the other person you beat?
I want to say Sonata on night 1.
Okay.
It was somebody on night 1, so I assume it was a long time ago, so I can't really remember. But...
Is it over?
No, there are 4 more nights to go.
Okay.
We have one.
Isn't
more.
It on at like 6 and 4 in the morning?
It varies. Between 2 a.m. and 4 in the, about 4 in the, 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
4:30 is usually about the latest it'll start. 2 a.m. I know the finals will start about 2 a.m. because the final show usually goes about 5 hours. Because it's essentially, the G1 Climax Final is essentially a pay-per-view type show.
Sure.
Where there's already 3 title matches along with the G1 Final, so.
What's the title match?
Two title matches right now announced. Both tag teams, the Guerrillas of Destiny versus War Machine, and the junior heavyweight tag team titles of the Young Bucks versus Ricochet and Ryusuke Taguchi, which should be a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And then obviously you will have the G1 Climax Final, you'll get some matches.
Wait.
I take that back. War Machine is not facing the Guerrillas of Destiny. I was wrong on that. I effed up. It is actually the Guerrillas of Destiny versus Cody and Hangman Page.
Oh.
So we could see Cody.
Are they all in the...
It's Bullet Club, but Cody and Hangman Page. Cody winning the IWGP Tag Team titles, again, is going to further this very long-term storyline of the internal difficulties in the Bullet Club between Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes. So I definitely think we're going to see new Tag Team champions. They don't announce the full card until literally the night, like the press conference after the final night of block play.
Okay.
Which the final night of blocks is so headlined.
Like a castle or something.
Huh?
They play with blocks?
No. The final night of the block of the tournament. Obviously, we have the Okada Omega 3 match coming, which
Omega 3. I took some Omega 3s this morning.
Motherfucker.
What?
I'm trying to be serious and talk about the G1, which I'm extremely passionate about, and here you are trolling me, making fucking jokes.
Well, at least they're funny jokes.
The final round of blocks, which right now you're looking at, there's several, about four guys in contention in the A block, so you're going to get some spoilers on the final night there. There's going to be probably four guys in contention for the B block, so you're going to have some guys playing spoiler there. You're looking at Bad Luck Fale being in the mix with Kenny the B block, you're looking at Kenny Omega and Okada on top. Minoru Suzuki's going to be in the mix, and Bad Luck Fale is going to be in the mix. Fale taking on Yuji Nagata on the final night. I see Nagata winning there in Yuji Nagata in his 20th G1, in his final, has already announced this is his final G1. He's won one match so far. He will win on the final night and play spoiler, so the crowd will be going absolutely insane for that match. I can't wait to see it. Nagata's been one of the MVPs of this tournament, just giving it his all every night out. He wants to make the last time memorable. And this is a guy who owned New Japan for several years in the late 90s and early 2000s. So, I think it's going to be an amazing final three nights. I think it's, if you haven't yet and you're thinking about it, I will tell you, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the shows will have English commentary by Don Callis and Kevin Kelly. I know a lot of people...
Arguably probably the best commentary team in the business.
Really,
right now.
They are.
I mean, for a national promotion.
And I know a lot of the people are kind of... I've actually turned on a few of our SDMU fans. I've turned on a few friends to New Japan, and a lot of them really, like, one of my friends at work he signed up for New Japan, and I said, he actually asked me, he said, when do they go back to English commentary for the G1? I said, they go back for the last three at Sumo Hall. So, I know a lot of people care about that. I'm part of the group that next year I'm really hoping, just pay them whatever you got to, house them up. All 19 nights of the G1 with English commentary would be absolutely perfect, and I think it's time for that. But it's been an amazing.
Well, I mean, next year it's feasible that some of the G1 could be here in the United States.
I don't know if we're to that point yet. I think we're gonna kind of get the G1 special like we did this year. There's already talk that there might be two tours next year, so. Maybe a...
They're opening a United States office, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I know weather could be an issue, but I said, what about December? Three or four city tour leading up to, say, maybe 2 weeks before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Which would be great. I know there's a lot of people that want to see... Now, as far as the final match of the G1, as far as who's going to win the blocks, I will go over that real quick. I said it on the G1 preview special. I'm sticking to it. I'm going to say Naito out of the A block. The B block, I am not so sure on. They may put Kenny over. I still think Suzuki's going to be the mix. I would be shocked if Kenny Omega doesn't beat Kazuchika Okada on that night. The only other thing I can see, we've already had a 60-minute time limit draw. This is a 30-minute match. There's a 30-minute time limit.
That'd be the shortest match, wouldn't it?
It would be the shortest match that they've had. There's not going to be any rest holds in this match. It's going to be a 90-mile-an-hour sprint.
Yeah.
It's going to be 20 pounds of shit in a 5-pound sack.
You think they do time limit draw again?
They did the time limit draw last year with Okada and Tanahashi, so it's been done. They may go that route, which then could potentially set up a scenario where I actually predicted in the beginning he's still alive. Minoru Suzuki could make it to the finals of G1, and I am still saying it. It is Naito's year. Naito is winning. He's lost a couple of matches, one to Michael Elgin. I cannot for the life of me remember who else beat him. But he set up a couple of he set up basically two opponents where he can, after he wins the briefcase for the shot at Wrestle Kingdom, he can defend it at Destruction, he can defend it at King of Pro Wrestling against the guys that defeated him in the tournament. Just the same as, obviously, Okada got pinned by Evil the other night, obviously setting up Evil for a tag team, for a world title match at some point. Tanahashi's been pinned twice. So, as they go through the tournament...
Tanahashi, the Intercontinental Champion?
Yes. As the Kenny Omega's been pinned by Elgin and Juice, so Juice could get a U.S. title shot, you know? Elgin, obviously, could get a U.S. title shot. Hopefully, maybe at a Glory Pro show.
God. You know... Oh, we'll talk about it off there.
But, So, obviously, in the course of this tournament, they kind of set up where we go for the next couple of months as we head down the road to January 4th at the Tokyo Dome. And I have already said it. I think you're going to see Naito Okada at the Tokyo Dome. I think it's going to be the match that everybody wants, is, and it's the match that's been teased so many times, Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi, his former tag team partner in DDT. They will, because I don't think they're going to do Omega Okada again this year. I think they're going to put Kenny in there as the co-main with Ibushi, which will be absolutely amazing.
And then do Naito Okada.
Naito Okada. You could see, I'm trying to think of where there's other matches. Obviously, you have Tanahashi in the mix.
Ishii.
Maybe. Tanahashi and Ishii had a 3 3/4 star match a few days ago. So maybe that is, maybe he's the challenger for the Intercontinental title.
Tanahashi is like the John Cena of New Japan. Would you say that's accurate?
He is the John Cena. He was we call it the ace.
Okay.
He's been the ace of the promotion for so long. Essentially, he kind of passed the torch to Okada 2 years ago at Wrestle Kingdom. He's still at the top of the card. Unfortunately, he's been battling some injuries. He's actually worked through the G1 with a nagging, the remnants of a torn bicep injury.
Okay.
And they've, of course, played that up during the tournament.
Sure.
Speaking of injuries, Juice Robinson, I don't know how he did injure his knee fairly early in the tournament. I think he's doing some. I think it's, you know, they're just selling it. He's done an amazing job of selling the knee in every match, because these guys do get banged up over the course of this grueling, grueling month, and they basically make that play into the matches. Everything makes sense. There is so much that can be learned by promoters and by people in creative positions in the wrestling business about how to book just by watching the G1. How everything that happens matters in this tournament. And that is why if you're a New Japan fan, it literally is the most exciting and exhausting month of your life. It's compounded even worse for like guys like me and Dustin, because we were at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame for 4 days while this tournament was going on. Dustin still hasn't caught up yet.
You were up most mornings watching it.
I actually would get up and watch it on my phone with headphones in at the hotel. I did that for 2 of the days. There was one day where I finally said, yeah, I'll watch this later. I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah.
But, no, it's been great. And I am hoping, praying, I am assuming we will, probably Sunday night, after the final, which is a week from Sunday, it's this Sunday. It seems like it's still
yeah.
Nope, 15th. It's a week from Sunday. It's this coming Sunday.
The 13th.
The 13th. I am hoping myself and Dustin will be doing a wrap-up podcast, so where we will give you all of the results. I will compile a list of my top matches, and I will give pretty much my thoughts the entire tournament. It's been amazing, and I cannot wait for the final 3 nights. Maybe, just maybe, I'll get McCarthy to watch a little bit with me since it's got English commentary.
I do love Don Callis. I listen to his podcast every week.
Well, folks, it's getting kind of late here. It's Monday night. Oh. Hey, I didn't think you were going to show up
this Regal. Week. Regal.
Rick, I was worried you weren't going to make it this
don't,
week.
Don't talk without talking. Did you watch NXT this week?
I did.
Did you see that girl? Who'd she look like?
Van Muscle, I think was her name.
Jenna
Van Muscle. I think, Rick, she bore a striking resemblance. There's something you need to tell us, Rick.
I know what a lot of people are saying, and I'll tell you this. I did not sleep with that young lady's mother. Because we were up all night.
Shortest, longest
ride, longest line, get it right. And I have a special announcement.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Special announcement. Right here on Off the Chest of Timothy Regal.
What's the special announcement,
Rick? Next week, you're going to have a new guest.
Who's a new guest.
He's been working out. You're very handsome, good-looking host, partner, co-host there. He's been working on the negotiations. And next week, on this very podcast, one of my best friends in the whole world.
Arne Anderson?
One of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time is going to be here.
Arne? Tully?
On your podcast, the Barry? Man who retired me, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, is going to be here on Off the Chest of Timothy Regal.
Wow, Rick. You're telling me that Shawn's going to be here.
Shawn's going to be here.
How did I not know about this? It's my show.
Well, you know, that guy, he's very smart. I hear he's a 7-star mind, and he negotiated the whole thing, and he's bringing Shawn in.
All right. Well, we'll
come in next week on Off the Chest.
Maybe Roddy Piper might show up. You never know.
Let's see. Okay, maybe.
Corey Macklin might show up. You never know.
All right, well, why are you bringing in Miss Cleo? She going to conjure them all up from the dead? Why can you only impersonate dead people, Regal?
I don't know.
I don't know either. What do you think that says about you? Never mind. I'm out of here. Woo!
Alex, I think Rick.
Now let me tell you something, Regal.
Oh.
Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Next week is gonna be incredible. And I will just tell you right now, Mr. Regal, that your good podcasting partner, that 7-star mind, baby, he's not quite as tubby as old Dusty is just yet. So you don't be mistaken. But, they like it when I do the plugs. Do you know that?
Dusty, you gonna do the plugs?
Dusty's gonna do the plugs. Go ahead and follow this sweet, sweet boy, the 7-star mind, Alex McCarthy, at One Real Smart Alex. Follow his friend, Mr. Timothy Regal, if you will, at SCW Regal 444. Go ahead and follow the podcast at Off the Chest TR, baby. Go ahead and follow Pro Wrestling in Iowa on Twitter at Pro Wrestling IA, on Instagram, whatever that is, at Pro Wrestling _IA, and like Pro Wrestling Iowa on Facebook, baby. And that's all that we have here for you this week. So we're going to take it to one more man to take it home. And that's my friend, Mr. Lance Catamaran.
for the Nature Boy Ric Flair, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, the most famous man on the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network, Timothy Regal, and the seven-star mind, Alex McCarthy. This is Lance Catamaran, and you're listening to Off the Chest of Timothy Regal. Regal, you're fired.
You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, visit electronicmediacollective.com.